like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Welcome to the morning show, Eric.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us. I'm just going to jump right in with a question. You joined Days of Our Lives a while ago, a couple of years ago now. I don't know if you'd have an answer to this question, but any idea what keeps the show fresh after being on the air for so long? It's approaching 12,000 episodes. I mean, can you attribute that to anything?
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, 12,000 episodes. I mean, when shows pass 50 episodes, I mean, that's considered a very, very successful show. So when you think about 12,000, yeah, there's reason for us to be pretty proud over here. But as far as its staying power, yeah, I do have a theory, and I think people hold on to this theory, that it has generational impact. You know, when you have a show that's been on that long, you have great-grandma, you have grandma, you have mom, you have the daughter, and you have the daughter's daughter, you know, all sitting around watching the show. It kind of serves as a, for lack of a better word, like a Thanksgiving, a daily Thanksgiving for the whole family to kind of gather around, and they watch the show, and they talk about it, and they talk about what's going to happen on Monday and what happened on Friday, and it serves as a bonding element between families and people, and I think that's what other shows today lack. You know, they don't have that kind of staying power because we've already been integrated in people's minds and psyches, and we're almost like part of their furniture.
Nice.
You know, they turn on Days of Our Lives, and it's like a coffee table. You know, it's always there.
That's an interesting way to put it. So you'd say that a soap opera like Days of Our Lives is like a coffee table, whereas like some primetime show that's even been on for, say, 5 or 6 years, that's kind of just like another passing thing, or how do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, okay, I'm getting another analogy here coming to my mind. Like, okay, a lot of shows nowadays, since we have 3,000 channels and there's so many things to watch, there's all these shows and they throw out everything but the kitchen sink to try to get people's interest. You know, reality show, everyone's got one now.
Oh, yeah.
And those shows are kind of like tchotchkes, you know. They're little, you know, decor in your house that you like to have around for a month or two. But then, you know, you want to get something else. You find something at Pier One or whatever. but you have your soap. That's kind of like the coffee table that the tchotchkes sit on.
Because nice.
I'm doing a furniture analogy here. Are you following this? This is weird.
Oh, man, I'm all over this. And I'll use this as blackmail.
It kind of makes sense, though, doesn't it?
It totally does, yeah. Coffee table, very important. You definitely need that. You can put the reality shows on the soap opera and then knock them off when you're done with them.
Pretty much. Yeah. Some things are interchangeable and some things are not.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to totally switch gears on you. What is your thinking on the dire state of soap operas right now? You know, a bunch of them have closed their doors within the last few years, including Passions, a soap that you were on. What do you think, I guess just what are your thoughts on that since you've been in the soap scene for a decade now?
Yeah. My feeling is of sadness. I mean, because this is a genre that's, you know, taken care of me, been my bread and butter, been my, you know, been my livelihood for 10 years. So the idea that networks would think that these shows should be replaced with, you know, trendy little cooking shows, it's pretty harsh. It's a bitter pill to swallow. But I'm pretty hopeful that the genre itself is not going to go away. I mean, it has staying power, and I don't think they're all going to be cut, so to speak. And there have been some casualties along the way, but I think networks would be silly to get rid of these shows altogether because they just simply have already proven that they have audiences, substantial audiences.
Sure.
I mean, we have more people watching our show on a daily basis than a lot of seemingly successful shows, you know, do today. So the numbers are there. The fans are there. I know the fans are there because I do a lot of appearances throughout the year, and I'm always amazed at the numbers and the lines of people that even a single actor coming out to sign some things will bring.
Sure, and I'm sure
it's still alive. It's still so much alive out there.
Yeah, I always like to say there's a big difference between dead and dying.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. And I think with the cancellation of these shows, it's only brought the soap community together, and it's made it stronger.
Interesting.
Because I think there has been a sense in the past of a feeling of taking it for granted that we'll always be here, we're always going to have soaps, and sometimes it takes these kinds of waves to make people really sit up and stand up and get loud, mm-hmm. as far as saying, okay, this is serious now. We need networks to understand how much we love our program, and people are getting more vocal, you know, by the minute.
And soap fans are typically pretty vocal about everything, right? Aren't they kind of a community that will definitely voice their concern and definitely rally together more so than
soap fans? Yeah, soap fans are crazy that way. I've always associated soap fans with country music fans.
Okay.
In the sense that if you follow a certain country music artist, no matter if they put out a hit record or 16 bad records, they will still follow you to the ends of the earth.
Oh, geez.
Wherever your tour goes.
Okay.
And they will camp out and wait for tickets for you.
Nice.
And even when our shows go through, you know, rough patches or changes that may not be so easy to swallow for fans, they still watch. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still going to tune into their program no matter what. So loyalty is definitely a word that comes to mind when you think about these people. And they will show up in the craziest of places. I once did it popped into my head. There was this one girl that was at she was in Toronto. I was doing a mall appearance in Toronto. And two days later, I was in Atlanta doing another one. And she was there again. They'll just fly all over the world because they love their soap so much. And it's terrific.
Wow. She followed you from Toronto to Georgia. Just like that.
Yeah, I'd ask her. I'm like, were you on the wing of my plane? How did you do that? She's like, wow, that's dedication.
I want to switch gears here. You, I think it was 2007. Did you put out a bunch of songs? You're a singer too, right? That's kind of awesome.
I am. Well, I came from music. I came from musical theater. That's how I got involved in acting. I toured with the musical Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat for almost 3.5 years with the Osmond family.
Good for you.
I sang with Dolly Parton for a while in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So music was always my forte and one of my passions. I put out an album, I think it was 2007. It was a while ago. It was an LP. It's on iTunes if your listeners want to check it out. But it's fun. It was done without any computers or any Pro Tools or anything like that because I was always a fan of 80s rock and you know, real instruments creating real music. So I have done that.
So no auto tuning on your voice either?
No auto tunes,
nice.
None of that garbage.
I like that.
No, I'm old school that way.
If we played one of those songs, which one would you want us to play?
Oh, go for Liar, the last one.
Liar? Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
The word on the street, the producer said, I think he told me at one point that this was a song that Kelly Clarkson almost did, but either she passed on it she considered putting it on one of her records, but then we got a hold of it and I decided to do it.
You said
it's got a little Clarkson vibe to it.
Sweet. All right, so what about a second one if I had to pick another one? I have five here, is that right?
Yeah, I would do Never Be. That's okay. A good one.
All right, cool. All right, let's take a break. This is what it sounds like when a soap star takes over the microphone. You're listening to KNOM's Morning Show. We are speaking with Days of Our Lives actor Eric Martsoff, and here he is singing his songs Liar and Never Be.
Walk in the room and everybody stops and stares, eyes on you, watching you move. You come off so sweet and shy, perfect and cool. Thought I could resist how you looked, how you kissed, all the promises you made. Yes, I had to get burned, but I learned to see through your chagrin. Total fake, oh, liar, letting you shame on me, cause every little thing you would do, I believed, I didn't see, guess that I was blind from love, so naive. You keep moving your mouth, but the truth won't come out, you're completely insincere. Every word, every line is a crime, time to get out of here. You knew me, I thought you understood that all I gave was all I could. After all those sacred nights, after all my sacrifice, what you need I can't give anymore. I'll never be an angel as long as I breathe. I'll never be the same man. Can I surrender? Get down on my knees when all you want's a need. I'll never be. You're like a stranger. Of yourself, can't you see I'm only flesh and blood? I'll never be an angel as long as I breathe. I'll never be the same man you want me to be. How can I surrender? Get down on my surrender. sorrow. All you want from me, I'll never be. I'll never be an angel. As long as I breathe, I'll never be the same man you want me to be. How can I surrender? Calling on your strength to help me weather the winter. I was born of my mother with a thorn in my flesh. Yet you still in my innermost being expect the best. Made your image to be after your likeness. So I confess your word over my life, your highness. And spread my wings wide as I glide on this deeper faith. Soaring high on the breath you blew out of your mighty chest.
Eric, if you weren't an actor, fill in the blank. If I was not an actor, I would be.
Oh, that is probably the toughest question you could ask me, because I can't think of being anything else, because it's really the thing that makes me tick.
Okay.
But if I wasn't, I guess I could always polish off my old law books. I actually have a degree in pre-law. I went to college to become a lawyer.
Wow.
And yeah, when I realized that I could, you know, make money singing on a Hawaiian cruise ship, I was like, wait, I'm sorry, lawyer what?
Yeah.
So,
I hear you.
Yeah, I kind of turned the cheek on that. But it would be very, very difficult to go back to something like that once I've gotten a taste of this life and the people and the kinds of history that I've seen here and been a part of. It'd be tough. It really would. Kind of scary.
I mean, that sounds boring to me. Do you think it would be just so lame after being on soap operas and singing? And would it just be boring to hit the books again like that?
Honestly, yeah. Well, yeah. No disrespect to those that don't have these jobs, but it's not so bad. You know, you get up in the morning, you go to work, you know, you roll around in bed with a beautiful actress and you get paid and you go home.
Jeez.
You go home to your beautiful wife and your kids and it's all good and legal.
I know, it sounds like it shouldn't be.
There are worse things you could do.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
we've been talking to Eric Martsoff, a star on Days of Our Lives. He plays the character of Brady Black. Thank you, Eric, for joining us today, and have a great day.
All right. Well, it's my pleasure. You have a terrific day, okay?
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.